You know, they showed me that video ahead of time to stop this. But it didn't help. That's an incredible story, and we just want to thank John for letting us experience in that journey. Amen. By the way, I don't mind that. Amens are awesome. I mean, I got to see that video earlier because, you know, they said, Darren, you want to see this. Yesterday, Friday night, they said, you want to watch this, and we want to play this song, and then you'll be fine, and I'm prepared, just so you know. But that video, I got to see it more than you did. I don't know. John said an awesome phrase. And by the way, at the end of that video, when he said, you know, I have a new sentence, I was like, dude, let's go home now. Because that's awesome. A new sentence. Today, we're going to talk about the sentence that we live under sometimes. You see, another phrase he said in that video was, and on the third day, my life was changed. The third day. And if you hang out at church at all, you know you've heard that phrase, the third day. That's why we're here this morning. That's what Easter is. Easter is the third day. And we think of Easter in that way. But I want you to think about Easter just for a moment this morning. That Easter is a three-day story. And sometimes we don't find ourselves living in the glory of the third day. We may find ourselves living in the situations of day one and two. You see, Easter is a Friday and a Saturday and a Sunday. It's trouble, then silence, then deliverance. It's death, it's burial, it's resurrection. And I like Easter. I like most Sundays. Yes, I said most Sundays. Because we come to Easter, and some of you are visiting with us this morning, and some of us put on our Easter best. Jason was wearing a tie. I thought that was kind of cool. I even wore a long sleeve shirt and tucked it in. But the truth is, when we showed up this morning, most of us put on our Easter face. We greet one another. Happy Easter. Good to meet you. Gosh, it's good to see you. And we put on our Easter face because that's what we think we should do. But the truth is, most of us walked in here this morning. I walked in here this morning. And a lot of times in our life, it's not an Easter face kind of life. It's a hollow feeling that life can leave us. Even sometimes singing, and I sing hallelujah. Sometimes life just comes and grabs us. And we all know what it means to have a life that feels hollow. The life that when we go back out today and we get in our cars and we drive home, we know the life that's waiting for us out there. I want to ask you the question, do you remember the first time you discovered that life wasn't what it was supposed to be? The older you get, just so you know, young people, the more those days happen. I thought that would get an amen. Come on, let's go. Amen. Maybe, and in seriousness, maybe that happens when someone in your family suffers a serious illness or there's a death. Maybe that day was when you suffered a terrible diagnosis and now your life or your family's life is just filled with IVs and hospital rooms and insurance forms you're never going to understand. Maybe your dreams were shattered and your life became just a little bit more hollow. What you didn't expect when maybe those divorce papers showed up. Or the bank said, no, we really do need the money. Maybe that happens when your skills and your talents aren't needed anymore. Or maybe you're just too old and we don't want you to work here. Maybe by now you thought you'd be married or you thought that kid would finally figure it out and call you and say, Mom and Dad, you are right. See, we all had a plan, didn't we, start out with life, how it's going to work out? Like I tell you before, I teach high school. I ask some of these kids their dreams and then I look at their grades and I go, oh, dude. Let's talk. Because we all have a plan. I'm going to have perfect parents, and I'm going to have a wonderful childhood, and I'm going to marry that perfect spouse, and I'm going to have awesome children, and I'm going to work at one of those jobs where it's never a day of work when you love what you do, and I'm going to have a boss that thinks I'm the greatest. But it doesn't always happen. Nobody plans for illness. Nobody plans for divorce. John didn't walk out the day he was born and his parents said, this is what awaits my child out there as he lives through his life. Nobody plans on being fired. Nobody plans on being alone or depressed. We don't plan on those things. Heck, nobody even plans on getting old. But it happens. Amen. It happens. But all of this happens. And when it does, sometimes that leaves us feeling hollow inside. Because don't we lose just a little bit of our hope? See, in the Easter story, I want to spend just a few minutes talking about Saturday. Because Saturday is the day when hope is dead. Like I said before, Easter is a three-day story. And Saturday is never discussed. It's kind of like that day that nobody wants to talk about. The Bible's full of what happened on Good Friday. Heck, it's called Good Friday. We know that Jesus was crucified. We know that the sky turned black. We know that Jesus' followers abandoned him. We know that he died on the cross. We know that the temple curtain was ripped in two, and the death and the pain and the agony. And Sunday, we know we're here. We know the story of Sunday. And for the last 2,000 years, believers have made sure that Easter Sunday was the day in which fear was destroyed and hope was inspired and death was defied. But what about Saturday? We never mention Saturday. It's that little secret that nobody talks about. But think about it just for a second. Just for a second, imagine this. That after Good Friday, what it must have been like to be a follower of Jesus. They were shocked. They were angry. They were confused. As they watched Jesus die on the cross, they watched all their hopes and dreams die with him. When you're on a Saturday, they know what you felt like. They know what you feel like. They're just like us. Imagine. And then here's what happens after the most unthinkable thing that they thought could happen happens. In Luke chapter 23, listen to these words. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. This is Joseph of Arimathea after the crucifixion. Then he took it down, and he wrapped it in a linen cloth and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. For more than one day, from sundown Friday to Sunday morning, Jesus' followers waited, feeling more hopeless, more hollow, more powerless than they have ever felt. For at that time, hope was dead. Now, I don't know how old you are, if you remember. Excuse my nose. It's going. But there was a great cartoon series many years ago, Looney Tunes. I don't know if you remember that or not. Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. And if you watch the right television show, young people, you can see it too. When cartoons were cartoons, and Mel Blanc was the voice of most of those characters. And there were two catchphrases he was very famous for. What's up, Doc? And you remember the other one? That's all, folks. And at the end of the cartoon, every time Porky Pig would come out, and there'd be this phrase, that's all, folks. When Mel Blanc died, guess what his children wrote on his tombstone? That's all, folks. On Saturday, when Jesus' disciples realized what they had just experienced, they were convinced. That's all, folks. Show's over. Go home. It's done. There's nothing left. He died. What are we supposed to do? And haven't you been there? Haven't you been paralyzed, hopeless, wondering what's going to happen next? Is God in control? Does he listen? If he is God, why can't he fix this? You see, Saturday is the day when your soul is crushed. And as far as we know it, in the last 2,000 years, that is the only day when there was literally not one person on earth who believed that Jesus was alive. But you see, the reason that Easter Sunday is so incredible was because Saturday was so bad. See, on Saturday, nobody back then was thinking about Sunday. Nobody was planning for a resurrection. John and Peter weren't discussing with one another, what are we going to do when we see the resurrected Jesus? Mary Magdalene wasn't worried about what she was going to wear to church. She was getting ready to embalm her friend Jesus. You see, that's Saturday. And I know you said, well, we came for Easter. And I want you to know that the message today is that Saturday wasn't the end. Saturday wasn't the conclusion. Now, there are two kinds of hope you can have in this world. There's hope in something, or there's hope in someone. In the video, you saw John talk about drugs, and some of us, well, we hope in some things. We hope in some things of this world. Hope in something is kind of like a hope in a particular outcome, that I get that job, that I get that date, that I get that house. The Prince Charming will show up and have my answer, that the Publisher's Clearinghouse will really choose my number. True, sometimes we hope in long shots. Every week people play the lotto, and every week they say, well, I don't think I'm going to win, but they all have a plan, don't they? Or shouldn't I say, don't we? Sometimes we hope in things that might bring us a little joy that are fun. I hope the Kings win tonight. And don't come to my house or call me if they don't. Because it usually takes me about 20 minutes to say, And then my wife simply says, hockey game. And I go, you're right. Sometimes we hope in things that are really serious in our lives, that mean deep to us. Sometimes we hope that that relationship will be restored. That the doctor wasn't right. That the layoffs aren't for real. But the truth is, whenever you hope in something, I have some bad news for you. It's going to disappoint you. When you hope in something, it's doomed to let you down. Because we know that everything in this world will fade away. It goes away. Even we someday are going to go away. And all those people that put their hopes and trusts in us will be left wondering why. When you hope in something, your hope is doomed to perish. So what do we hope in? Well, see, that's the good news, because we need to put our hope in someone. 1 Peter 3 says it this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Did you pick up on those two words, resurrection and hope? Now, I don't think anybody in here would, I'm not a Bible scholar, and I don't think anybody else in here would really be amazed to realize that you find the word hope in the New Testament 71 times. But here's the part I didn't realize until Jeremy gave me his wonderful notes. That it appears 70 times after the resurrection. You see, God planted hope after the resurrection. Because God wants you and I to know real hope. Not hope based on marital status or employment or the stock market or my financial portfolio or my retirement, or based on what I've done in the past or what I'm going to do in the future, or based on a health diagnosis. God wants us to have genuine hope. Hope that comes from a God who is still in control and who can still do the miraculous. Because the truth is, sometimes when we are stuck in our Saturday, we forget that God does his best work in hopeless situations. Amen? Amen. Remember, the Easter story is a three-day story. And we need to concentrate right now on that third day. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Trouble, silence, deliverance, death, burial, resurrection. You see, in the middle of the disciples being at the lowest point in their life, at the middle of the disciples wondering what is going on, God was engineering a resurrection. God was engineering the greatest moment in history. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through 7 says it this way. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. See, they were living in their Saturday. Sometimes we just live in our Saturdays. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down and their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and be raised on the third day." What day was he raised on? The third day. Sometimes we forget it's the third day. Now, the last thing I want to give you is simplistic hope to problems in your life that are complex. But is it possible this morning, as you look at what is gnawing away at you, what is eating away at your hope, what is stealing your joy, that maybe you're in a three-day story and you're living a day one or two, and you're on the cusp of that third day? See, the problem with third-day stories is that we don't know when the third day is going to happen. And then we have to decide at that moment when we're middle of our Saturdays, where are we going to put our hope? Are we going to put our hope in something? Or are we going to put our hope in someone? When you read the Bible, and I will tell you, there are third-day stories that fill that book. And I will tell you, as a man who's walked on this earth for 52 years, my life is filled with third-day stories. And I know friends that I have met with and people that I spend time with, and reasons why being in a life group is an incredible experience. Because in those, you can be surrounded by three-day stories. Don't spend your life stuck on Saturday. There's an awesome story. And Jeremy gave it to me, and I read it, and I wept. So just get ready. And I did some research, because I don't like to tell you stories, and Jerry doesn't either, that aren't true. And I did some research on the story, and when I found it was true, it was like, get ready. It takes place in an art gallery. And there's these two men that are going through, and one of them is a chess champion. He's very good. He's a chess master, and he's walking through this art gallery with his friend. And as they walk through, they notice that each painting, of course, has a title. And they come up to a painting that is of particular interest to this artist and to this chess champion. And he stops and he looks at it. And the painting is called Checkmate. And on it, there's this picture, and it's based, I actually looked up yesterday, it's actually based on a very famous painting of Faust playing chess with the devil. If you Google it, you'll see that painting. But there's this other painting, someone kind of did an interpretation of it called Checkmate. And in it, there's this devil, evil-looking, you know, creature playing chess with this simplistic-looking man. And the devil has many pieces on the board in front of him, and the man just sits there with all hope lost, with one piece left, his king. And the title is called Checkmate. Well, this artist and his friend, this chess champion, they were looking at it. And then the artist realized, this guy is just going to stare at this painting for a long time. So I'm going to go, and he said, "You stay here." He goes, "What's wrong?" And the chess champion looks at this piece of work, and he just says, "Something's wrong. I can't figure it out. I'm just going to look at this for a while." So his friend goes around and visits the rest of the museum and comes back. And when he comes back, he sees his friend almost subconsciously moving his hand around. And he says, "What's wrong? What's the matter?" And all of a sudden, this light dawns on his friend. And he says, "We gotta call this artist. He's wrong. Checkmate is at the end of the game. I've studied this piece. I understand this game. That king has one more move. The game is not over." Now, if we're at a soulful church, when I say that phrase, the game is not over, what do I get? Amen. The game is not over. When the world tells you checkmate, you are done. Ladies and gentlemen, the king has one more move. Amen. When David was coming out against Goliath, this small boy, when the odds were all against him and the entire army of Israel was saying, there is no shot. What are you doing? David went out there because the king had one more move. When Daniel sat there and he lived his faith out and it cost him to be thrown into the lion's den. And Darius the king comes out and says the next morning, Daniel, are you still alive? Expecting no answer, Daniel says yes. And you know why Daniel was alive? Because the king had one more move. When Moses leads the children of Israel out and they're standing against the Red Sea, they've just escaped Egypt. And Pharaoh decides, you know what? I'm going after them. I'm tired of this. And the children of Israel look and they see the Red Sea and they wonder, Moses, what was God thinking? And Moses looks to God and says, what were you thinking? Then Moses discovers that the king has one more move. Friends, that is what Hope Rising means. On Good Friday, they tried to kill Jesus. You know the story. They beat him, and they mocked him, and they whipped him, and they scorned him, and they hung him on a cross. They took him down from that cross, and they threw him in a tomb, expecting his body to rot, because everybody has rotted since death entered this sorry, dark world. And on Saturday, everyone said, that's all, folks. Death has entered the story. It's over. Go home. But on Sunday, God proved, I've got one more move. Amen. I will tell you, the reason I'm so emotional is because in my life right now, I have some Saturdays. And gosh darn, Jeremy, making me look at this like this. But I need to realize in my life, I just sat there yesterday as going over there saying, Darren, the king has one more move. I don't know what you're facing right now. I don't know where you are, but I bet you somewhere in your life you're living a Saturday. Maybe it's stress at work. Maybe it's a marriage where it's not supposed to be. Maybe it's a son or daughter that you haven't talked to for a while, a financial crisis. Maybe you're sitting here saying, Darren, I've made some horrible decisions, and I have no answer. But ladies and gentlemen, the king has one more move. I want you to know right now, I want you to understand this truth. When you put your hope in something, it goes away. But when you put your hope in Jesus, you are sentenced to freedom. Ephesians 1, I want to leave you with this. Ephesians 1, chapter 19 through 20. I want you just to grab a hold of this. And then the band, we're going to sing together a song. I want you to grab a hold of this. It says, and in his incomparable great power for those of us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. And here's the crux. It doesn't say that we all have access to that power. It says for those who believe. This morning, the band is going to lead us in a session of the song, Mighty to Save. And I want you, as you sing this song, and as you listen to those sing around you, I want you to ask yourself this question this morning. What move do you need to make so that God can work his move in you? Maybe you haven't accepted Jesus. Maybe you're sitting on the outside, and maybe this is just another Easter Sunday. Do not walk out to that Saturday experience when God has a Sunday for you. Maybe you've been in church for a while, and you're just coming and going, and you're wondering what's going on. Maybe you're like the disciples on that Saturday saying, God, are you in control? But the king has one more move. And I want to encourage you, would you stand with me as we prepare to sing and ask yourself this question, what move, what needs to happen in my life that I experience that third day?
to sing us again.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave.
Grab a hold of that third day promise and that hope. And outside, there's a tent set up for you, a pop-up, a connection tent. And there are going to be people out there that want to pray with you. If you need to accept Jesus, there are going to be people out there that want to share with you how that journey begins. If you're visiting with us this morning, we have a gift for you. But God doesn't want us to live forever in Saturday. That's why Easter happened. Let's pray. Father God, we give you the glory. Father God, we pray for all the churches that are meeting today, Father God, that your word goes out. Father God, this world captures us with things. The promised deliverance, Father God, but we know, Father God, that things mean nothing. Father God, I pray for my brothers and sisters as we share the gospel today, Father God, that your word goes out. Father God, it's sunrise services that have happened that are happening. Father God, it's church services that are happening and have happened, that your word goes out. But Father God, we know that you are the God of our Fridays and our Saturdays. And Father God, you are the God that gives us Sunday. Father God, we just lift your name in glory. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful week.